Chapter 8. At the Aurora Medical Facility on Obroa Sky, life support systems and bioscanning devices chirped and beeped to one another. Gathered around the patient's bed, a group of physicians and med droids evaluated the data and conferred.
"Brainwaves indicate an elevation from phase 3 to hypnopompic,"
one of the droids reported.
"Rapid eye movement has ceased."
"Carefully now," Sampa told the droid, his head tresses writhing in anticipation. "He is surfacing, but the transition must be managed delicately."
The Ho-Din physician paused to study the readouts, then turned to another of the droids.
"Increase the dosage by a factor of 0.5.
The droid complied, widening the aperture of a petcock that regulated the flow of drugs into the patient's arm.
"Carefully," Sampa warned.
He stole another glance at the monitors, finding encouragement in the neuroimaging displays.
"I'm confident we will be able to bring him all the way back this time."
The human patient moaned, though not in pain, more as if awakening from a long afternoon nap. In keeping with Aurora's reputation, the med droids included the best that money could buy: a humanoid industrial automaton 2-1B, a 20-year-old MedTech FX Series 10 assistant, upgraded with the latest in heuristic processors, two Chiwab GH-7s, whose repulsor lifts allowed them to remain overhead and out of the way, and two MD Series 11 medical specialists programmed for neurological analysis. None of the members of the mixed-species team of physicians wore surgical gloves, gowns, or masks. All were dressed in the immaculate jackets, trousers, and skirts that were standard issue at Aurora. The med droids were on hand to administer drugs and monitor and record the procedures. Chief Neurologist Leal Sampa wasn't expecting any surprises. The patient's vitals were excellent, and the chances of his going into shock or cardiac arrest were nominal. He had the heart and lungs of a 30-year-old, literally, and the kidneys, spleen, pancreas, and liver of someone half his chronological age. For weeks following the most recent nerve splicing and deep neuron stimulation, he had been in and out of consciousness, experiencing sleep-wake cycles, tossing and turning, talking out loud, grinding his teeth, laughing and crying, perhaps in reaction to some of the lucid dreams Sampa had been feeding him for more than a decade now. In effect, the patient was surfacing like a deep sea diver on a water world, slowly and methodically, to keep from going into decompression sickness. Assured of success, Sampa had ordered the feeding tube removed.
"You're too sure of yourself,"
Ril Bazant said. A Twi'lek, she was Aurora's most celebrated psychotherapist.
"We've been at this same juncture more times than I can count."
"This time will be different," Sampa promised.
"I find it morally indefensible that you continue to devote half the resources of the facility to a pet project."
Sampa's head tresses took on a sudden color.
"Need I remind you that you are here only to observe?"
"I wouldn't want it any other way, Leal."
Sampa gazed at her.
"Why is it you seem determined to see this man die?"
"No more determined than you are to keep him alive at any cost. If we concede to call this living..."
"I want him more than alive."
"You're not omnipotent, no matter what they told you at the Renal Academy."
"I'm profoundly aware of my limitations."
"Then you've done a fine job of fooling many of us all these years."
Bazant gestured to one of the display screens.
"Reticular formation damage remains extensive. Segregated corticothalamic networks show limited connectivity and only partial functional integrity. Even if he does emerge, the chances for viability are minimal."
Sampa directed his response to the entire team.
"We have kept his body alive. His muscles have been stimulated and kept healthy. Failing organs have been replaced. His blood has been cleansed. Cerebral damage notwithstanding, I am confident we can keep his mind as sound as we have kept his body."
"Meat can be kept frozen," Bazant countered. "Beings can be preserved in carbonite, but the sentient brain isn't a muscle."
"We have given him dreams and memories. His mind is healthy."
"Implanted memories,"
Bazant said more firmly.
"Memories of a life he hasn't lived. Even if he does awaken, he'll be a psychological mess."
Sampa was dismissive.
"Side effects we can treat with therapy, as easily dealt with as recurrent dreams."
"He'll be in therapy for the rest of his life."
Many have who didn't sustain the neural damage he did.
Bazant exhaled in defeat, her leku quivering.
I'll never understand this, Leel. You already have a shelf full of Fa'anir awards.
This isn't about prizes, Doctor.
Then what? You can't possibly believe this approach has universal application. Most of the beings who receive treatments here could scarcely spend what it has cost to keep this one on ice.